Thank you, choir. Wow. I feel like we've already had church, don't you? That was awesome. I love that. Not enough, though. You know, I got to preach, right? So I got to get my part in, right? So so glad that you're here today. I look around the room. I know we've got a lot of visitors here with us today. And here's what I want to say to our visitors. If you're visiting with us, just relax. You're a part of us this morning. You're one of us. We want you to relax and just feel at home this morning and just feel like you are among friends and the body of Christ, and you can just join in with us. I hope that you have found something already in this service this morning that speaks to your heart and ministers to you. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like for you to be finding a very familiar passage of Scripture. I think you'll recognize it when we get into it this morning. For the past several weeks in our series of messages, we've been in the book of Hebrews. This morning, we're going to Luke chapter 19. Be finding Luke 19. And again, it's be a very familiar passage of Scripture to you. We are in a series of messages that we've been calling 2020 Vision. Now, lest you think, well, that's old news, right? I mean, like 2020 was started months ago, weeks ago, right? So we're really not talking about the year 2020 as much as we are catching vision of what God has for us, what God wants to do and what He wants to be in our life. And so we've titled this series of messages this morning, 2020 Vision. And I knew this morning that my time was going to be a little bit short because we had a lot going on in the service. And so this morning, I want to just bring you kind of a shorter, abbreviated message that's more of a devotional type message. But I want to stay with our theme because we've got one more week in this series looking at this idea of 2020 vision. We're talking about, when we use the phrase 2020 vision, catching the perfect vision of God for our life. What does He want from me? What does He want to do with my life now that I'm a believer? And what does He desire to do in the church? And that whole concept of vision to us has been something that we've kind of been focusing on the past few weeks. Remember that great passage of Scripture from the wise writer of Proverbs in Proverbs 29:18, where he says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And so we want to be a people of vision, right? We want to see what God has for us, what direction He wants us to go. We want to catch His vision for our life. So that's kind of what we've been about. Now, in the past few weeks, we've talked about several different things. We've talked about His perfect vision for our lives. What does that look like? And we looked at Hebrews chapter 11 and the great faith chapter and the example of those lives of faith lived out before us. And we talked about how our vision as believers is to be a faith vision. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so we've been talking about how our vision is to be one that's based on faith. And we use all of those great examples in the faith chapter, if you will, as kind of that example of those who kind of had this vision of faith and they followed it, and how God used that and blessed that. And then last time we were together, we talked about how this kind of vision, having 2020 vision, means that our focus is to be on Jesus. And we jumped up into Hebrews chapter 12, and we read these words, and we're going to put them on the screen again today so you can just see it. We started talking about how if we're going to have the perfect vision of God, listen, our focus has to be on Jesus. It has to be on Him. And I'm so glad this morning that we get to have the Lord's Supper and kind of observe that, because that focuses on who? Jesus, on His broken body and shed blood. We're focusing on Him. It's not about what church you're sitting in. It's not about what denomination is by the name of the church. It's not about that, is it? It's about Jesus. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, this is what we read last week. It said this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," all those people who lived this faith vision, since we're surrounded by all those witnesses of that, "we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." In other words, those things aren't to be our focus. We're not to focus on the weights of this world that hold us back or those things that keep us from running the race. But look what he says. We are to run the race with endurance that's set before us, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's where our focus is to be. So that's what we've been looking at the past few weeks. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. I want to just go to a passage of Scripture that kind of gives us a picture of what it looks like when one man catches vision of Jesus and what it does in his life. Because we have it recorded in Scripture, and you'll be familiar with the story. If you're there with me in Luke chapter 19, look at it really fast. Now, I've titled this message this morning, "Vision from a Tree." Does that give you a little hint about where we're going? All right, well, don't think you know everything about vision from a tree, because this may kind of turn on its head before this is over. But just kind of keep that title in the back of your mind, "Vision from a Tree." Look at Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. We're going to read about the wee little man that climbed a tree to catch a vision of Jesus. But I want you to pay close attention to the story, because the story is not about the wee little man. It's about the one we're to be focusing on. He's the one that climbed a tree for you. He's the one we focus on. You'll see it in the passage. Look at it with me if you would. Luke 19, beginning in the first verse. Here we go. You follow along with me if you have your Bible. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, to catch a vision of Jesus, if you will. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. You guys know, we sing the song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, right? He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. So you know that part of it. Verse 4. So he ran ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up, and he saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he, Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And I want you to listen to that story this morning very closely, because there's so much in that story that we'll preach. But I want you to think about a vision from a tree this morning. Just think about it with me. Would you pray with me? Father, how blessed we are this morning for all the things that we've already gotten to be a part of, to witness and to see this morning. To be reminded of your broken body and your shed blood in this Lord's Supper service. God, to be reminded that we are sinners saved by grace, your marvelous, amazing grace. And we celebrate that in this place this morning. God, to celebrate the fact that you are here, because your word says where two or more are gathered together in your name, that you're right there in their midst. God, you're here this morning. And God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you desire to speak to each life, to each person that's here, mine included. So Lord, this morning we humble ourselves before you. God, we cry out to you this morning from our heart of hearts. Lord, speak, for your servants are listening. We need you. We need to hear from you this morning. We perhaps need, like Zacchaeus, to climb that tree and catch vision of you afresh and anew today for some of us. God, I pray that our focus this morning would be on Jesus, that you would be lifted up, that others would be drawn to you, changed by you this morning in this place to your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do here in this place today. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. I think the one of the things that you get from this story when you began to read the story of Zacchaeus in chapter 19 of Luke is that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus really bad, right? I mean, he wanted to catch a vision of him. He wanted to catch a glimpse of him. Now, perhaps he'd heard about Jesus. We just don't know. We're not told. Maybe he had heard from many of those roaming the streets that the long-awaited Messiah that the Jewish people had been looking for generations had finally come. Maybe Zacchaeus had heard that. We know that in Jericho he healed a blind man. Maybe he'd heard of the miracles Jesus had performed. Maybe he'd heard of the turning of water into wine, or maybe he'd heard that Jesus had walked on water. We just don't know. But for whatever reason, Zacchaeus' interest is piqued, and all he wants to do is catch vision of Jesus. He wants to see him. And so with everything he has, he makes efforts to try to catch him. And so this morning, as we kind of think about this, I want us just to think about trying to catch vision of Jesus, because that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about focusing on him, catching a vision of Christ and our focus being on him. And I think one of the things that you see from this passage of Scripture is a man who really wanted in his heart of hearts to see Jesus. Now, think about this with me for just a second. I don't think Jesus is hard to see. I don't. I think it all has to do with where we're looking, right? But I don't think it's really that hard. I think Jesus wants to be seen by us. I don't think he's a God who hides in the shadows. I don't think that's it. If you remember last week when we were reading from Hebrews, it said we have to lay aside all the weights and the things that easily ensnare us, the sins that so easily, and we've got to focus on Jesus. We've got to look unto him. And here's what I think we need to understand is that Jesus isn't hard to see. The problem is not with him making himself visible to us. The problem is with us seeing him. The problem is with us laying aside the things that would keep us from seeing him. Zacchaeus is one who had a lot of things in his life that were keeping him from seeing Jesus. That's what piqued my interest about this story, particularly how it plays into our theme of 2020 vision, really having that perfect vision of God and really beginning to see him in our life. Where is my vision fixed? Where is my focus fixed? We can see Jesus. He reveals himself to us in hundreds of ways. He is not a God who hides in the shadows. If you think about it, there's some pretty fantastic claims about people, places that people have seen Jesus. If you stand in a supermarket kind of checkout line and you just kind of glance over at what we used to call the tabloids, ever so often there is right on the front page a story about someone who saw Jesus in some bizarre thing, right? For example, this week, I was just kind of looking on the internet, and I kind of Googled it, and this thing came up that said the 10 strangest places that people have seen Jesus. And it's interesting, the 10 things that they list, they've seen Jesus in everything from a Walmart receipt to a slice of pizza. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that you go looking for Jesus in a slice of pizza, okay? But I am telling you that Jesus isn't that obscure. I think he wants to be seen by us. He's gone to great lengths to reveal himself to us. Isn't that what this is about? I mean, he went to a cross and died on a cross so that we could see visibly someone who was willing to give himself for us. I mean, he wants to be seen by us. He wants us to see. There's a great little book that's called Seeing Jesus that's written by a woman named Nancy Guthrie, of all things. Hi, Nancy. Not that Nancy Guthrie, okay? Although, Nancy, I am sure you could write a great book. You've been around this church long enough. You got stories to tell, lady. All right? Nancy Guthrie wrote this book called Seeing Jesus. And in that book, she says this. It's an interesting statement. She said, God has always wanted his people to know him, not in a generic or shallow way, but personally, as he truly is. So he revealed himself in a progressive way, not only through his name, but also through his glorious presence that dwelt in the temple, through the law, and through his mighty deeds on behalf of his people. But these revelations all led up to a definitive revelation in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, we can see him. We can know him. We don't serve a God that's unknowable, unseeable, that's invisible to us, but we can catch vision of Jesus. And I just want you to think about this. I think that even today, Jesus, God, reveals himself to us in lots of ways. He really does. I mean, think about this. He reveals himself. I think Jesus, you can catch Jesus' vision in and through the lives of other believers. Have you ever heard that saying? You're the only Jesus that some will ever see. Have you ever heard that? What's that talking about? Is that the way we live our lives as believers, listen, we ought to be so, as believers, focused on Jesus, having caught vision of him ourselves, that when others look at us, they see Jesus. Now, that in itself will preach, won't it? I mean, think about this. What story is your life telling? What do others see when they look at your life? So I think that others ought to be able to catch vision of Jesus through you. I really believe also that we can catch vision of Jesus through his church. That we are the body of Christ, right? We are his arms and his legs. The church is to be where a vision of Jesus is caught. I believe that the world ought to catch vision of Jesus through the church. And sometimes it grieves me to say this, but sometimes I think about this. What does the world see when they look at the church today? Infighting? divisiveness? We can't get along? What do they see when they look at the church today? Because listen, I'm telling you, I believe that the church, as the body of Christ, as the hands and feet of Christ, that when the world looks at the church, they ought to see a picture of Jesus. They ought to see him. So when we talk about 2020 vision, boy, listen, that ought to be a part of it, right? We want our church to look like Jesus. We want our church to reflect him. I also believe that we can catch vision of Jesus through his word. You can. I mean, you give any honest reading to the word of God and you begin to spend time in it and you will begin to catch a vision of Jesus. You'll see him. He will reveal himself to you in his word. And then there's one more. I think that we can catch vision of Jesus in those quiet moments spent with him in prayer and meditation with his word, in communion with him. I mean, listen, if that's not something that you have kind of put in your life, kind of scheduled into your life, when you just have those quiet moments with, I can tell you, begin to do that and you will begin to catch vision of Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to catch vision of Jesus. And I just want, in the little bit of time that we have, give you a couple of points this morning, just two quick things that I want to share with you about how you can catch a vision of Jesus just like he did. And we're talking about a vision from a tree, so kind of keep that title in the back of your mind because we're going to come back to that. But let me just kind of talk to you about how you can catch vision of Jesus. Here's the first one. You ready? Jot this down somewhere. If you want to catch vision of Jesus, you have to have a seeking heart. Can I just buddyize it and say it like this? If you want to catch vision of Jesus, he's not hard to see. You just got to really want to. You got to want to see him. You've got to want to catch vision of Jesus, and you can catch vision of him. You can. I believe that that's possible for you to be able to do that. Now, if you kind of think about this, and here's the way we kind of have worded it. If you think about this, there was something about Zacchaeus. He wanted to catch vision of him. He desired to see him with all that he had. He wanted to see Jesus. Think about this with me for just a second. God says this in the book of Jeremiah. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. If you really want to know, why do a lot of people not have vision of Jesus? Why do they not catch vision of Jesus? Why do they not focus on him? Why do they not see him at work in their life every single day? Why do they miss him? If he so wants to reveal himself to us, why do we miss him? Well, maybe that's the key. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with everything you've got. And you go, well, was that how Zacchaeus was seeking him? Look at your Bible there at verses 3 and 4 of our passage. And I want to show you something. I think this is very, very interesting. Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 19. It says this, and he sought, Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Now, there's something there that's very interesting to me. You notice a couple of times in that passage of Scripture, he says that he wanted to see him. He was looking to see him. But there's a word there that I want you to just kind of hinge on for a second. I'm reading from the New King James this morning, and it says in verse 3 that he sought to see him. See that word sought there? Very interesting. Maybe if you have the NIV, a little bit different there. I think the NIV says he wanted to see him. Is that what you have if you have the NIV? He wanted to see him. Or maybe if it's the New American Standard, I think it says he was trying to see him. Well, those are terrible translations of that Greek word that's translated there as sought. Wanted or trying doesn't have near the intensity with which Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. We know that that word that's translated there as the word sought in the Greek language literally says he was seeking with a deep craving. Literally. So remember, I've told you many times that the Greek language was very illustrative. So there was a power in that word that's translated there as sought. He sought to see him. And maybe the word sought, I think, is a little bit better kind of English translation of that word. But literally, it is saying this. Zacchaeus was seeking with a deep craving, a deep drive. He so wanted to see Jesus. With everything within him, he wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus. We don't know why. We're told in this passage of Scripture some things about Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector and he was rich. Had a lot going for him, it sounds like. We don't know. We're just not told that much about him. But I can imagine that a lot of the things that perhaps he thought would satisfy and bring meaning and purpose in his life had fallen flat. There was an emptiness there. He'd heard stories maybe about Jesus. This is the Messiah. Maybe someone that he knows dearly had said, listen, this man changed my life. He brought something to me I'd never experienced before. We don't know what it is, but that word sought is telling us that he was seeking him with this deep craving, this deep longing. And that's why I say to you today that if you want to see Jesus, you can. If you want to catch vision of him and begin to focus on him, you can. But what did Jeremiah the prophet say? You got to seek him with all your heart. You need to have this deep craving, this deep longing. Now, what does that look like for us? If we're going to have this deep longing, this deep craving for us, I got to tell you that if you really want to see Jesus, start spending more time in his word, right? Dig into scripture where he reveals himself, right? Get around other Christians who are walking closely with him. And you know what? You'll begin to see Jesus in them, right? Or get involved in a New Testament church that is preaching God's word where other believers are loving Jesus and talking about him. You'll begin to see Jesus. If you really have a seeking heart, you will put yourself in those places that will cause you to see Jesus, and you will. So we're talking about having 20/20 vision here and focusing on him. Listen, I'm telling you, Jesus can be seen. The problem is not with him making himself visible to us. He's passing by, right? What's the problem? We got to want to see him. Focus on him with all your heart. So that's the first one. Lisa Turkhurst, I don't know if y'all have read anything by her, but here's what she says, and I love this quote. She says this: seeking, really seeking, is more than just reading a few verses from the Bible in the morning and trying to be a good person that day. Seeking requires me to sacrifice the things I feel compelled to chase so that I can be available to notice God's clear direction. Whatever we chase, like it or not, gains our full attention, our focus. That's a pretty great quote, isn't it, when you think about it? What is she saying? If we want to see Jesus, we need to chase after Jesus. We need to seek to him. So that's the first one. You ready? First point. I said this is going to be abbreviated, so you got to stay with me. You ready? Here's number two. I cannot get past this second point. Every time that I have come to this passage of Scripture, either to teach it in a Bible study, to preach it, whatever it is, and I start looking at my commentaries and I start reading through it, every single time I come to Barclay's commentary and he has this statement, and every time it catches me. It says this: Zacchaeus was willing to climb above the obstacles that were keeping him from seeing Jesus. And it touches me every time. I think so many times in our life, why don't we see Jesus? Because there's a lot of obstacles that are keeping us from seeing him. For Zacchaeus, he had this deep craving to see him, so what was he willing to do? Okay, we know he was short in stature, right? But we also know he must have been a pretty distinguished man. He's got a pretty good, high-paying job. He's pretty wealthy. But what did he do? He humbled himself, hiked up his skirt, and climbed a tree. Humbled himself. Why? Because he wanted to climb above the things that were keeping him from seeing Jesus. Now, I think that there were probably a lot of things that were keeping him from seeing Jesus. I think there were many things in his life that were hindering his ability to see Jesus. If you think about it, in our passage, we get a picture of all these things that were keeping him from seeing him. I mean, if you think about this like this, there's things in our life. We might say it like this: to keep some obvious things that keep us from seeing Jesus, I would say the enemy. The devil, right? I mean, the enemy likes, if he can, to put things in front of us that cause us to draw our attention away to those things and off of Jesus. So the enemy, the devil, the world, right? The world flashes before us all the time. Listen, right now, it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? And away from the things of God. It's easy for us to feel hopeless and helpless when we listen to the nightly news and we see the things that are going on in our world. It's easy to be distracted by that. Easy. Or the world, the flesh, is the third one, the flesh, our own flesh. So those are some of the things. And I wonder if some of those weren't some of the same obstacles standing in Zacchaeus' way. Think about Zacchaeus for a second. I think maybe his occupation, his profession, had stood in the way for a long time of him seeing Jesus. We know he was a tax collector. If you studied about tax collectors from that day, you know that they were considered pretty crooked, pretty ruthless. We know that they made a living by extorting more from the people than the government required. And we're told in this passage that Zacchaeus had become quite wealthy. So perhaps his occupation for a long time had stood in the way. His ambitions of trying to get ahead in life and make this kind of living that would pad his pockets and help him to live in a nice kind of neighborhood and all those kind of things. Maybe that's something that clouded his mind just a little bit. Or maybe it wasn't his occupation. Maybe it was just his wealth itself. Material wealth sometimes can cloud our mind. Maybe that was it. Or maybe for him, this third one, maybe it was just the people, the crowd was in his way. We're told that in the passage, right? There were so many people crowding around Jesus that he had to climb above them into the tree to see who Jesus was. What are the obstacles in your life that are keeping you right now from seeing Jesus? I'm going to tell you that if you want 20/20 vision of Jesus, if you want to see him, if you really want to see him and know him and experience him, what must you do? Climb above the obstacles. You got to climb above them. If you want to catch vision of Jesus, you've got to be willing to climb above the things that are standing in the way of you seeing Jesus, whatever that is. I love this passage of Scripture, though, because of this. When you read this passage of Scripture, often people get caught up on the wee little man, Zacchaeus. But the story is really about the one that Zacchaeus wanted to catch vision of. But here's what I want you to see. The whole time, Jesus had caught vision of Zacchaeus. He saw him. And I love what happens in this story because Jesus caught vision of Zacchaeus and he went to him and he said, Zacchaeus, I see you in that tree. I want you to climb down out of the tree and I want you to let me walk around in your life. I love that. And Zacchaeus did. And if you look at our passage of Scripture, and I love how this passage ends in verse 10, it says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Can I ask you, how did he do that? He climbed a tree. He climbed a tree. Why? Because he had vision of you. And I love that. You see, 20/20 vision that we want to catch of Jesus kind of first started with him catching vision of me. My desire to seek after Jesus comes from the fact that he found me, he sought me, and he saved me. And that's what he's done for you. And so this morning, as we kind of think about this memorial meal that focuses on Jesus, it reminds us that he had vision of us from a tree. He gave his body. He shed his blood for us, didn't he? And you and I can see him and find him because he's made himself known to us because of what he did when he climbed a tree. We sing the song. We're going to sing it in a minute as an invitation. And it simply says, this is my favorite hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. He's the one who had a vision from the tree, and you were that vision. John Piper says, seeing and savoring Jesus is the most important seeing and savoring you will ever do. Eternity hangs on it. Would you pray with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know what God might have said in your heart this morning. There's been so many ways that God speaks this morning in this service. Through this memorial meal, he speaks. Through the prayers of others, he speaks. Through hymns and spiritual songs, he speaks. Through that beautiful testimony and song from the choir, Sinner Saved by Grace, this morning, he speaks. Through his word, he speaks. And what's he doing? He's revealing himself to you. Oh, he has vision of you. Do you have vision of him? This morning, is he just calling you to turn your eyes upon him? To climb above some obstacles? To seek him with all that you have, with deep craving and longing. In just a moment, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation together as a hymn of worship. And we want to give you an opportunity to respond. I don't know what God might have said in your heart. Maybe he's told you, this is the church you belong in. Maybe he's told you, you need to recommit your life to him. You need to go kneel at that altar before him. You need to go pray with the minister. I don't know. Listen, this is not a time for you to feel pressure from us. It's just a time for us to listen to his voice and respond to him as he leads. Whatever he says to you this morning, listen, you are among friends, family in this place. Relax and take a deep breath and trust him this morning. Focus on him. If God's spoken to your heart this morning and you need to come, we're going to invite you to do that. Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you for the truth of your word this morning. You're the one who caught vision of us from a tree and gave yourself for us. And this morning, God, we give ourselves to you. And Lord, if there's any in this place that need to come this morning, give them the courage to step out in faith and come. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do in this place today. It's in your name we ask these things.